Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, who can it be now? Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to everybody. You jamming?
Yeah, I like the song.
Yeah, nice.
I like Men at Work.
We had a visit today from the Stolz family. That was fun.
We did. That was fun. My dad and my brother came up to hang out for a little while.
Yeah, got to have lunch.
And they wouldn't leave. They're still here. No, it was great. They bought us all papas. So we enjoyed some pizza.
Papas
some cheese
for
sticks.
The papa.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really still here.
No, they're not.
Okay. I was going to say.
They had to leave and go do something.
People do tend to hang around.
Sometimes people hang around.
Who is Yakov Smirnoff?
Yakov Smirnoff, we could not get to leave.
3 days.
Yeah. One of my favorite pictures I've ever taken, I have it on my phone, is Yakov Smirnoff. He had taken his shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a bag of chips. and he was laying on the couch out in the
just watching soap operas.
Kitchen area. He was on the phone with his manager and he's like, "Why Yakov not selling more tickets?" I'm confident I can do it. and it was like, Yakov, you've been here for like 4 hours.
That was pretty, funny.
Yeah, it got weird.
You're like, is he just moving in?
Yeah. There's an episode of The Simpsons with Stan Lee, and Stan Lee's at the comic book store. And when Bart comes back to the store a few days later, Stan Lee is there. And he's like, "Stan Lee came back." And then the comic book guy goes, "Stan Lee never left." And I admit, that's what I thought. It's like, Yakov came back? Yakov
never left. I will be leaving a little bit early today, about 3:45. I am invited to go out to the 97.1 FM Talk 25th anniversary show, which is out at the District. And I think I'm going to be on with Mark and Reardon at 5 p.m. So,
cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Should be fun. John Beck's going to be there. Tom's going to be there.
That's fine.
Yeah, be a good time. Gotta get out of here an hour early.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
You gotta drive a long ways. Well, that's actually not that bad. It's less than I drive home, so...
Yeah, not bad.
The District is great, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've been out there. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's very
You're
cool.
gonna love it.
Yeah, we came close to playing a gig out there in October, but it kind of fell through, so...
That's where that candy place is, where I accidentally spent $40 on candy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Man, I want to go to a candy store.
It's Sugar out of the District. Go check it out. It's a good place.
Oh, that's like they have that out in like Los Angeles and such, right?
Yeah, it's like it's a chain.
Rich. Just went all Kentucky on us. Have that in Los Angeles.
That's what I was saying to Eric when he was here. I was like, you're from Hollywood. Tell me all about it.
Well, so this may be why
Hollywood
got them
people movies out there.
Maybe this is why Hollywood people always portray everybody in the Midwest sounding like that.
I look so bald.
You do.
Well,
like not in here, but on the stream, the way the light is shining on your head.
Yeah, it's really featuring it. Looks like Half Dome in Yellowstone.
Yeah, we can adjust the lighting if
you just turn off that ring light, you'd be fine.
That's okay.
Dave, does anyone ever reference the fact that you're bald and you're like, you don't really know me like that? Because I was watching something the other day, and it was like two guys like talking in front of a crowd, and one of them referenced the other's baldness, and the guy like was really a good sport about it, but I was also like, I hope you guys are actually friends and you had permission to do that.
Yeah, it's weird being me. It's great being me, but it's weird because people kind of treat you like a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. Like you're not real. Mm-hmm. Or kind of like a prop. And a lot of times they don't know quite what to say, and sometimes they'll say dumb stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not very often, but every now and then you're just like, oh, phew.
I get it.
Okay. That actually hurts. Not the bald thing. Like I'm
other things.
I understand I'm bald. Amy thinks that Rach looks good in her glasses.
Thank you, Amy. That's very nice.
What did I say yesterday, Sarah Finsky? Mm-hmm. Women look great in hats and glasses.
You did say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kinds of hats?
Doesn't matter. It does not matter.
No?
No.
Even like the old
cowboy hat.
Big old flowery
sombrero.
One, things that look huge. Like what about the like the fruit hats?
10-gallon
sure.
hat.
Sure.
Fruit a witch's hat.
Yeah, witch's hat, great.
By fruit hat, do you mean like Chiquita banana?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that.
She was quite hot.
I mean.
Yeah, I thought she was hot.
Yeah. No, she that was.
There was a live person
sells.
That used to do it. On the commercials when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, I've seen them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought at first you're merely referencing the sticker, and I was like, I mean, sure.
Yeah. How hard up are we?
Any port in a storm.
A banana sticker.
Any port in a storm, brother.
No, I grew up in the horniest time, like the '70s were just nothing but TNA, just everywhere. Like if
yeah, you guys had Battle of the Hollywood Stars, which
just constantly.
When Rachel and I saw that for the first time, we like, I mean,
well, first of all, every show was sexy,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just like, you know what? Let's get all the stars together, put them in wet tank tops, and call it a show.
Battle of the Hollywood Stars, or is that what it was called?
Battle of the Network Stars.
Battle of the Network Stars. Borderline pornographic to watch. Like I felt
not
uncomfortable.
For the 70s.
I felt uncomfortable watching it.
The '70s is like, yep, that's how it is.
One time, my best friend, who was a girl, I don't know why I always have to say that, but her mom took us to, I think I told this story last year, took us to a drive-in movie and fell asleep, and we were watching like Homeward Bound or something, and on the screen behind us, which all we had to do was turn our little 8-year-old heads around, was porn. That's just the way it rolls in Illinois.
That is the
most
bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Yep.
And not even like, you know, like... two separate lots where the screens are maybe back to back, where if you're in one lot, you're not seeing the other screen. It's just like right there.
Yeah. And we're literally like, we're probably 10. So I started to say I knew a little, but I didn't. Like everything I was seeing was brand new to me.
After that night,
Close
you knew
was,
something.
Close was the one who had the log, right? The log in the woods?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Years ago,
the
Kev,
log.
Mark Close talked about how he had a hollowed out tree in the woods, and that's where he stashed his girly magazines. And he said, everyone had that. And I'm like, no, not everyone had that. And remember everyone called?
Yeah.
Like for an hour, people were calling like, I had that.
I had a log in the forest.
Yeah.
I had an enchanted mushroom in the forest.
First
where
of all,
I just
don't like how that phrase sounds. Can we not say that?
Log in the forest? You don't like having a log in the forest?
He's going to keep saying it.
I'm just going to... I shouldn't have said not to. It's all revert. I should have said, you know, you need to say that all the time. And he'd be like, I'm not saying that.
I had him right in my dad's sock drawer.
And he didn't wear socks?
What?
I guess I don't understand what you're saying.
The magazines were in his sock drawer.
Yeah, and you put them there?
No.
Did your dad?
Like, I'm going to stash my stuff in dad's drawer.
You said I had them right in the sock drawer.
Yeah,
my dad's sock drawer.
He had access to
them. Oh, okay. I thought you were, but I was like, wow.
You discovered them?
I'm not that stupid.
How did you right discover
under his,
them?
Right under his nose.
Were you like looking for socks one day and be like, oh.
No, I mean, at that point, I'm like 12 or 13, so I've got pretty honed in radar.
You're snooping. I get you. I got you.
And my uncles would come over, the ones from out of town, and they would bring a stack. And they would trade, and they would call them fishing magazines. And we all knew what it was. And I remember my mom and my aunts were always like low key bitter about it. You know,
sure.
Well, I mean, I could see why.
Yeah,
it would be a little bothersome.
Especially if it happened today, right? Can you imagine you'd show up today and hand your cousin a thumb drive in front of his wife? You're like, oh, wait till you get a load of this. I mean, but that's what it was. That's what it was like. So I would, like, pay extra special attention, like, where's he putting these things?
Right. Dave was always just around the corner.
Yeah, the magic of discovering sex is gone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty hard to hide these days.
Mm-hmm.
Kev, I know we're going to talk about this at 2 p.m. with Brad Young. He's really excited to talk about it. But give me your basics on the NBA Bafia
Man,
thing.
You talk about a huge, huge story. So you had three people involved with the NBA arrested by the FBI today. One is a former player who played for the Lakers with LeBron, Damon Jones. Another was an active player, Terry Rozier, who played in Miami last season. And then the other one is the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups. And they've all been accused of different things, but it's kind of in this same investigation. And the Chauncey Billups one is probably they're all disturbing, right? The one with Rozier, he allegedly told someone that, hey, I'm gonna go out of tonight's game with an injury. So if you guys want to bet a lot of the prop bets, mine will all come in under, you know, whatever. And he told some guy that, and then that guy sold that information to another guy for $100,000, and then they bet like $250,000 on all these different outcomes, and obviously won all of them because they knew he was gonna go out. And oh, by the way, he did go out in the first quarter with quote unquote injury. So there's that, which is a separate thing from what Chauncey Billups is accused of. He's accused of being a part of an illegal poker game that involved all of the big four mafia families in New York. The Gambinos, the Bananos, like all of those. And apparently what it was he and another guy, it might have been Damon Jones, who's the retired player. They were what they called the face cards for this poker game to give it legitimacy. They're famous. They were there. But the game was set up to rip off the other players by the mob guys. That's the allegation from the FBI. And apparently the allegation
is... Is that the problem? That it was rigged, or is it just that it was...
Well, there's two separate things, right? There's the FBI investigation, and that is for the law. And then there are pro sports rules. There are NBA rules, right? So for the law... That's the bigger crime, not just being involved with a poker game.
Okay.
I mean, that would be a crime, like, to play in an illegal poker game, but it's not like nobody's going to investigate you for it. If that was what you were doing, you'd probably be more considered valuable as a witness than as somebody receiving charges, right? Because they want to go after the people running the game rather than the people that are playing it. But I mean, but it could be both.
I have.
But then on the sports side, on the NBA side specifically here, you cannot be involved in any form of illegal gambling. Like, that's completely forbidden in pro sports. You can bet legally on things that don't involve your sport. So, like, Chauncey Billups could bet on football. He could bet on Major League Baseball. Cannot bet on basketball. But you cannot deal with anybody illegally. So, for obvious reasons, right? I mean, if you're working with the mob and somehow they want more from you or they're going to leverage you somehow, that puts you and the league at risk. So it's a pretty, this one feels like the magnitude of it might be one of the biggest betting scandals since the Black Sox scandal.
Wow.
Like, it's a really big deal, not in terms of the number of teams that it'll impact or anything like that, but in terms of the seriousness of the allegation against, in particular, Billups.
A couple quick thoughts off the top of my head. I didn't know the mafia was still the mafia the way it used to be the mafia, like the Gambinos and such. I thought those guys were
all those
gone.
The Genoveses were named. I mean, like, literally all of the big four New York families. Wow. Yeah.
And then secondly, I say this about once a day on the show, but how much money does one person need? I mean, like, I don't make that kind of money, but if someone offered me something illegal that would make me $50,000, $100,000, there's no way I'm going to give up my career for that, even though that's, you know, it's enticing. But these guys are 100 millionaires, probably.
Oh, Billups made over $100 million as a player.
Man.
He made, and he's been a head coach now for a number of years. So you're making millions of dollars a year. I don't know exactly what he makes, but he's probably making $4, 5, 6 million a year, given his pedigree. And he's it's interesting. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was probably 2017-ish, 2018, somewhere around there. He's part owner of a restaurant group, and they opened a couple pizza places in St. Louis. They're kind of like the wood-fired pizza places that you walk up to the counter. I don't remember which one. But he was doing that. Like, he came in studio with us. He sat and did a show with me, half an hour of a show with me and all that. And he was just promoting the fact that this is opening. So he had other business things going on, too. Who knows if maybe some of that went sideways or whatever. But, dude, I mean, you've got a lucrative career and you've made a lot of money over the years.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd get involved.
Who can it be now? Look up to the skies and see.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
124 DGS. So, Andrew, when I scared you the other day, I got myself back.
Oh?
I've never scared myself, but Rachel is working on a teaser trailer for the Halloween show, and it starts with my voice, and we were just sitting there very, very quietly, and I didn't know she was going to edit it, and out of nowhere, it was like, do you want us here? And I'm like, oh, my God. And I didn't say anything to you because I felt like a punk. I was just like, fiddly D.
Oh, going to be quite the show this year.
He's like, oh, no.
Do I drive you insane with my editing sometimes?
No.
Okay. No, I always worry. I wear headphones most of the time, but once in a while I don't, and I'm like, this might be extremely annoying.
No, well, it's
if
not.
It ever does, Dave, you can come hang with me and Andrew.
Yeah, speaking of annoying.
yeah, it's way less annoying. It's way less annoying in that room.
It never annoys me, but sometimes it confuses me. Like, when I hear you editing, and I kind of understand editing. I mean, I couldn't do it to save my life, but I get it. But when you will listen to the same line, like, 14 times, and I always wonder, like, what's going for?
Usually Kevin will find the clean ins and outs, right?
Yeah.
Kevin will hit me with that sometimes when I'm, like, doing stuff, like, editing stuff out loud and without headphones or whatever. He'll be like,
what you doing?
What you doing? Because it's usually, like, a lot of times it's his voice. It just sounds like I'm listening to his voice over and over and over and over again.
Can't blame him. Yeah, but I don't blame him. Yeah.
He's going like, chicken parm, chicken parm, chicken parm. And I'm just like hitting it over and over again.
He's making it skip too. He's like, chicken parm.
You need to make me that thing I asked for too.
I do.
But put Halloween first.
Yeah.
My favorite headline of the day, Elon Musk says he needs $1 trillion for robot army. Real headline.
Who's supposed to give him the trillion?
Yes.
Why does he need
question.
A robot army?
I don't know why he needs any of this.
It's pretty bad when you're one of the richest people on the planet and you're like, I need a trillion.
It's just money.
Hat in hand.
Yeah.
What he's saying
I had some money.
Yeah, what he's saying is what I need is other people's money.
Yes.
Because I'm not putting my money on this stuff.
Yes.
That's the rich guy game. They never spend or use their money.
What you going to do with that robot army, by the way? What's that for?
That's not scary at all.
Why are all of these billionaires building robot armies and they all have bunkers? And I mean, should we be worrying about this?
I'll be fine.
I don't know, man. I think a lot of these guys are posers.
Hey, at least we got those fun AI videos out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Worth it.
Elon, quote, wants strong influence over the robot army he's building.
Well, who doesn't? That's only natural.
Who else is going to have
influence? Why are we all just like, why is everybody in authority like, it's fine?
I would like strong influence over a robot army as well.
You know, in the history of the world, there's never been a problem with the super rich people having crazy ideas.
Well, this is okay because he's really stable.
And he's totally.
Never has any issues or you know, makes people feel like things are unsteady.
Although maybe there are people in real power, like generals and stuff, who look at it and just giggle. I'm like, man, if you ever think you're getting
Let's be real. If you recall, Elon said he was building a new form of mass transit underneath
The Hyperloop.
Las Vegas. And all that turned out to be was like a dingy, poorly lit tunnel with like one Tesla that'll drive you back and forth down this tunnel. You know, take two people at a time back and forth down the shuttle. So it's probably just going to be like a Rock'em Sock'em robot with like a nail gun or something. That'll be like his that'll be his robot army. And then, you know, we don't have to worry too much about it.
Can I say that? Do you guys think that he says those things like he did today on it? Because he said that on an earnings call. Do you think he's saying that because it boosts the stock? Because that's what happened. As soon as he said it, the stock shot.
This is the first thing that really upset me about Elon. Before he was like super, super famous and he was like, you know, super popular and doing all this stuff and in politics and all that. The thing that first turned me on to disliking him was that it really annoyed me that he would go on. He would like go out on stage at a convention or something and he'd be like, I'm turning all memories into megabyte pixel chips and you're going to put them in your brain and get all the memories forever and you'll never forget anything because of the pixel chip, megabyte, mega chips. And the media would just fall over to go like, he's the most incredible genius of all time. And I'm like, he's not doing it. We're never going to see that. Where's that been? It's been nowhere because it was never happening. Put a gun against his
mouth. Welcome back, DGS 135. Rachel, I'm intrigued with your topic on digging people up.
I just opened up that article so that we could talk about it. So there's a 2,000-year-old sarcophagus that was just unsealed, and everyone is just freaking out because the mummy inside was so well preserved, and we're learning so much about different ancient burial customs. And I mean, this is great from like a historical, scientific perspective. I understand all of this. I guess I'm just wondering, at what point does it stop being like, that's my great grandma or what have you, and it starts being something that you will dig up and study?
Great minds think alike. I brought this up 20 years ago on the show, I asked exactly what you just asked. What is the limit? Like, if someone dug my dad up, they'd go to jail.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's like, for example, I have an offer on the table, as you guys know, to go to Egypt in the spring and be a part of an archaeological dig. I really want to do that. So I'm obviously okay with digging up 4,000-year-old things and people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I mean, would we dig up Ulysses S. Grant? He's been dead for 150 years, right? And you go like, hey, let's see what's going on here. No, people go crazy.
Not to mention, how many movies about mummies
do you need to see
being unsealed? Yeah, it's like, come on, at some point,
yeah,
we're inviting a dark and horrible evil into this world. Leave them alone.
It's one of my weirdest things, exhuming people. Not like grave robbing, like Ed Gein kind of stuff, but just like when they do it in a case or something, or, oh, we think you killed your wife, let's dig her up and see if she has arsenic. There's nothing creepier in the world to me than that. And for some reason, I get some of it on TikTok, like people being exhumed. They haven't shown the bodies yet, and I get rid of it as soon as I can because I don't want that. But they'll be digging up a grave, and there's the casket. So nothing's weirder to me than that.
Yeah,
well,
it's just,
sure something is.
It's just odd because it's like, again, I see the merit in doing this. I'm not saying don't do it, but you have to admit that when you're doing it, what you're saying is, yeah, all these burial rituals and all the wishes that they had whenever they carried this out 2,000 years ago. Yeah, like, well, that's over. It's been 2,000 years, so we're good to go.
And especially them, because we, for the most part, respectfully bury our dead a lot of times, but we don't have any sort of, like, we're going to bury you with your clothes for the next life. Mm-hmm. You know, they did.
We built this mausoleum just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys think that the difference is the sliding scale of what you would actually learn by doing it versus the other side of it, which is respecting the wishes?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to learn anything digging up somebody from 200 years ago or 100 years ago because we know how people did it. We know how they did it. We know what they did. We probably still do it very much the same way. But we don't understand the customs as well the further back you go. and trying to understand human history and what people believed and why they did things and how they did things is still important for us to figure things out, because we don't have video from that time. We don't have photographs. We don't have a lot of information. So we're trying to piece together human history so we can understand how and why things happened.
Totally.
Yeah.
Except that.
Well, it's, we are collectively admitting that their beliefs were silly, and we are going to override their beliefs so that we can gather scientific evidence.
Clearly, our beliefs aren't silly.
Right. We're fine.
Yeah,
we're
got it right. They didn't. Yeah. No, there's no question there's an element of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, well, they just worship the funny gods with animal heads. That's not real. Like, all right, but they probably would have thought the same about yours. Your beliefs. Like, what do you mean you don't believe in people with animal heads? What's wrong with you? I mean, like, seriously, like, that's how every society views its own religion. It's like, ours is right. We got it. And everyone else says, nope, ours is right.
What if we die and the next thing we blink, open our eyes, and it's a guy with a bird head, and you're just like, ah, damn it.
You wake up, you're like, ah, it's Anubis. What the heck?
They were right. I am Ra, the sun god. You're like, seriously?
See how smart they were? No wonder they could build those pyramids.
So how did you hurt your hand yesterday?
It was the day before. I didn't update that, the terminology on the sheet. So a couple days ago, I broke a glass, like an actual glass, and a big chunk of it went into the sink, and I couldn't find the big chunk of glass in the sink. I had a flashlight. I couldn't see it. And apparently the garbage disposal got jammed.
Okay.
So I had to follow these instructions from a YouTube video on like how to unjam it, how to clean up, you know, how do you get this going again? How do you un? And I figured it out. Wasn't that complicated? Susan had sent me a little video and it showed me pretty easily how to do it. But it was so jammed that at the bottom you have to use like an Allen wrench to kind of like manually turn the thing to break. And I smashed my hand on the inside of the cabinet on the wall, like really hard, because I was trying to muscle it to move it, and it moved. But then when it moved, it went whack.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
I pictured you with your hand down the garbage disposal.
No, I thought that too when I was first hearing the descriptions of what to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with
this.
Have
you guys done that?
No. You're not supposed to.
Garbage disposal? No.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to use tongs.
Me neither.
You're not supposed to.
I haven't done it.
You're not supposed to.
I didn't do it last week when I dropped my coffee spoon in there.
Oh, no, I got tongs. You know, the kitchen tongs. You just go down there and if you drop something. But man, I realize now how it is relatively easy to do that, because you just have to put the Allen wrench in the little thing at the bottom of the whole contraption. You don't have to open anything up. You don't have to reach down into the sink. But man, that thing was stuck, and I can still barely feel that knuckle on my hand.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not great.
Ouch.
But I'm taking credit for fixing the
thing. Hell yeah. Kidding me?
Even though I didn't look up the information,
mm-hmm.
and I hurt myself doing it, I'm taking credit.
Thank you to our bosses, Steve and Becky, who took us out to dinner last night.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Pastoria in Clayton, and it was great. You know, Gerard's a friend of the show and does a great job at all of his restaurants. Really fun.
Everything about it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, when you walk in the front door, they had like blanket set up, kind of like fancy brown
like velvet curtains.
Yep. Yeah,
and both Andrew and I, my Metro East brother, both thought, oh, we're doing this wrong. Like
I was like, well, they're closed.
I'm gonna feel so stupid when I walk through this guy's blankets and he's in there taking a bath or something.
Yeah, when I walked in and it was like you had thrown it over a bird cage. I was like, oh, it's nighttime now. I guess I'm going to sleep.
Yeah,
bye, everybody.
I'm guessing that was for the wind.
I was just thinking it was because it's a fairly like open plan restaurant.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe just so like when you walk in, you're not just like, you know, immediately
blowing cold air into the whole place.
Yeah. That's smart.
On the other side of fine dining, last week I had a meeting with my band and we were at a breakfast place. I won't say where. It's not their fault. Yeah, kind of their fault. But there were four guys sitting in a booth and they're kind of hippie-ish, right? And two of them had their shoes off.
Ugh.
That's gross.
Now, they only had flip-flops to start.
Okay.
But they slipped those off and were just like sitting crisscross applesauce with their bare feet up on the thing.
No.
Yeah, that's gross. Don't do that.
No, keep them in the flip-flops. That's like doing that on a plane.
Why would you even want to touch the seat of the booth with your toes like that? That's gross. Well,
I mean.
Yeah, me. Also, it's funny how a set of fresh eyes really reveals things to you. Sarah Finsky was on yesterday, and I guess she was having a conversation with Andrew, and she knows about the open air drug market right across the street from us. And she said, when I came in, there are a bunch of kids playing out there. And Andrew's like, oh, yeah, there's a preschool right downstairs, and that's their field where they play. And she's like, the kids are playing in the open-air drug
Don't they
lot?
Go to the other park? That's
They
no-
come back and forth.
Oh, okay.
They come back and forth.
Yeah. Not that it's much better. It'd be like across the street.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. That's not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you see it every day, you're like, oh, yeah, it's just they're out there playing. And then when someone like points it out to you, you're like, oh, yeah, that is maybe not great.
Not great. And the people in the open-air drug market, who we see literally every day, have never been violent or threatening in any way. Mm-mm. Although one of them sucked my neck a couple years ago. But, yeah, you don't want that with 4-year-old kids out there playing kickball.
You prefer not.
Not ideal.
They probably don't love it either.
Yeah, that's...
We're like, oh, Holly's kids.
Oh, I thought you meant the kids don't love it. I'm like, I don't know if the kids notice much.
Yeah, the kids probably don't notice.
Also, would you guys take part in a scream club?
A what?
You heard of these?
Sure.
I have heard of these. There's one in St. Louis.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Should get them on the show.
They go down to the arch and they scream, from what I understand.
Wait, really?
What?
So you just let off all of your stress and anxiety.
Intrigued. Oh,
and,
I don't need
And
it.
You
yeah.
get together in a big circle and you scream.
Oh.
I'm sure there's more to it than that, but
yeah.
maybe there's not more to it.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think that would make me personally feel better, but I get why other people like doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to protect the moneymaker. I can't be doing that.
Right.
But give me a rage room, though. I'd have fun with that.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun.
We should try to book one of those.
Beat up on stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
We could just create one here.
I don't know why, but breaking things feels so good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 150. Attorney Brad Young is going to be with us at the top of the hour. Should be really good. He has some great cases to go over, including the NBA cheating scandal. He's really intrigued by that. So, I have some thoughts / questions that are way above my pay grade. They're about Russia and Ukraine and countries going to war, clearly above my pay grade. And it's not about Trump or Trump being stupid or anything like that. It's simply this. Maybe this is just the way the world has always been, but I thought it had changed. But what's the difference with Putin invading a sovereign country, killing hundreds of thousands of people, committing war crimes, according to the UN, losing hundreds of thousands of his own people, and then after 3 years going, okay, we're all the territory you've taken, you just get to keep if you stop killing us, and you just go on with life. How's that different from like a guy who's robbing a bank, and the cops come in and they're like, okay, whatever you got in the bag, you can keep, but just get the hell out of here. like, how do we just go? Let's say that they settle this thing in the next, like, this year. How do we just go on and treat Russia like, oh, we're cool? Well, you guys got into a bit of a scuffle there, but you figured it out. Boys will be boys. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just seems like we've either never had it, and I just glorified the World War II generation, or we had it and we lost it, where the world holds aggressors responsible.
I don't know. People are probably not going to like the question I'm going to ask, but how did the world look at us after Iraq? We had every right to go into Afghanistan. We had every right to pursue Osama bin Laden and all of that, but Iraq had nothing to do with any of that. And we know that in hindsight. We knew that. A lot of people were saying it at the time. You know, some of the, you know, the investigators that were looking into the yellow cake and all that stuff. We went in and had a full-ass invasion of Iraq, killed countless of civilians, and that was never, they were never connected to bin Laden in any real way. And people, there are books about it now. This is not some conspiracy theory. You know, that connection was never made. I mean, the information that was presented as the grounds for invading Iraq was not correct. The presentation to the United Nations was inaccurate. And that's being kind, because some people called it flat-out fabrication of evidence. How did the world look at us? How do they look at us now after that? Because, again, I don't think anybody bats an eye at us going into Afghanistan to pursue Al-Qaeda. There was an attack against us. That's where they were. The government there that was existing, the Taliban, would not turn them over, would not let us in. So it's a different animal. I don't think there's any real criticism of that. But the Iraq case is different. And it's not for the same reasons, right? We didn't say, well, this always used to belong to us, which is what Russia is saying. This used to be our land and we're taking it back. It's not the same case for going. But our case for going was not what we presented. It was not, that was not correct. And it led to a lot of our soldiers dying and getting sick from the burn pits and all of that stuff. And it led to a lot of civilian deaths, too. How does the world look at us? And that's and by the way, this is as a roundabout way of getting to answering the question you're asking, because all the big countries do this stuff. China's doing stuff and they're probably going to do more. You know, I mean, like all of the big, look at the things that the British Empire did for centuries, just taking countries over like, yep, this is ours now. And, we'll, you know, maybe someday you'll get it back. I mean, that's, I think there's just because history is so loaded with the big boys doing these things. How did the United States even come to exist? Because the world powers at the time just came over and said, yep, that's ours now. And we'll fight over the pieces and we'll figure out what's next. But like, that's just, you know, name a big, powerful nation that has never done these things. And that's not justifying Russia at all, because what they did is wrong and they killed innocent people. I'm just saying, I think that to answer your question, why do people allow it? Because everybody looks in the mirror. And they look at their own history, and whether it's recent history or a little further back, you're not going to find world powers that didn't do these things. I mean, Japan's not doing this stuff now. 80 years ago, Japan was taking over big chunks of China and taking over a lot of Southeast Asia during World War II, and then obviously bombing Pearl Harbor. Like, so every big nation, every big power has something in their not-too-distant past that's like, yeah, we kind of did that.
Maybe you're right. Rach, any thoughts?
I mean, I think it would be different if Ukraine was a NATO country. I think we would be holding them a lot more accountable because we have obligations towards that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people just look at the situation and go like, okay, yes, there was obviously like a huge miscarriage of justice here, but what are we supposed to do without getting ourselves too involved? I mean, the U.S. is already pretty involved in the situation. Like, how much farther are we supposed to go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the UK going to say? I mean, they were having problems with Ireland within our lifetimes, and oppressing people there. And I mean, it sucks. But I think your general point, Dave, about this is how it's always been, I think that's the answer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.